أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you may remember, we are talking about moral issues. We talked about different moral qualities in our previous sessions. This session will be devoted to a new moral quality or moral attribute. We will be, inshallah, talking about trust or trustworthiness. As you know, we cannot live alone. We cannot lead an honorable life in isolation. If we want to live a prosperous life, if we want to lead a facilitated life, we need to live in society among other people. As a result, there will be society. And society is the result of the combination of different individuals and different people who have a common goal and who have shared values. Society is in need of different institutions, organizations, and systems. One of the institutions that is needed in every society is the institution of trust. We need to trust others, and others might need to trust us. We need to trust others with certain things, and others may need to trust us with their things. And as a result, we need a trustworthy person. If there is a trustworthy person in society, we can trust him. We can leave something as amanat or trust with him. But if there is no trustworthy person in our society, the society will not be able to survive. And if this institution does not exist in any society, that society will be doomed to failure. Because it needs some things which do not exist. It is dependent on certain items which are not available. And as a result, the society will stop to exist. And as a result, the society will fail to exist. So we need trust, and we need a trustworthy person. In Islam, being a universal religion, in Islam being a religion that pays attention to human needs and to social needs, is very much concerned about this institution. Time and again, Islam advises its followers, its adherents, to pay attention to this principle. Islam warns that if this principle is not taken into account, even religiosity will be doomed to failure. According to Islamic principles, according to Islamic documents, you cannot claim that you are a religious person until and unless you are a trustworthy person. Just as it is necessary for you to be truthful, just as it is necessary for you to be honest, it is necessary for you to be trustworthy. Be trustworthy and you will be a religious person, an honorable person from the viewpoint of Islam. There are many verses in the Holy Quran that deal with this moral institution. And there are scores of traditions in our tradition or hadith collections that tackle this problem and that deal with them in one way or the other. Among the many verses that deal with the principle of trust is this verse. God the Almighty, Allah the Exalted says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah commands you, Allah orders you to make over the trust. If there is something with you as a trust, give it back, make it over. Make over the trust to their owners. And of course, this verse mentions another item that is equally important. It says, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. God orders us. God orders you. Whenever you want to judge between people, judge with justice. Base your judgment on the principle of justice. Never be prejudiced. Never be partial. Partiality will deviate you from the true path of Islam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ. The orders of God, the commandments of God are excellent. God orders us to do the best things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. God is seeing and hearing. So this verse touches two things. The first item is the trust, and the second item is the principle of justice. Let us study this verse in a rather comprehensive way to find out some minute points in this verse. First of all, let's talk about the cause of the revelation of this verse. Why was this verse revealed to the Holy Prophet? If you are used to studying commentary books, commentaries on the Holy Quran, you know very well that the interpreters of the Holy Quran touch different issues, among which is the cause of revelation. They touch the cause of the revelation of each and every verse. And they make it clear that knowing the cause of the revelation of a verse is very important for the understanding of the verse. If you know about the cause of the revelation of a verse, you better understand that verse. Yes, according to the commentators of the Holy Quran, this verse was revealed after the conquest of Mecca. You know, the Holy Prophet conquered Mecca in the final years of his life. When the Holy Prophet entered Mecca, he entered it very peacefully. He forgave his enemies, and there was no killing and there was no bloodshedding. It was a very important point in the history of Islam. Contrary to what the Orientalists say, that Islam is the religion of sword, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the prophet of sword. What we witness in Mecca, after it is conquered by the Holy Prophet, is peace. The Holy Prophet did not shed any blood, and the Holy Prophet forgave his enemies, his foes. He forgave his arch enemies. Yes, when the Holy Prophet entered Mecca, the first thing he did, he went to Kaaba. He took the key from Usman bin Talha, and he entered the house of God. There were many idols. The Holy Prophet broke the idols into pieces and threw them away and cleansed the house of God from these objects. And once the job was done, then Abbas, the Holy Prophet's uncle, asked the Holy Prophet, "O Prophet, give the key to me. You see, to hold the key of the house of God is a very prestigious occupation in Islam. If you are the doorkeeper, and if you hold the key and keep the key with you, you are an important person." Abbas, being an important personality, asked for the key. But the Holy Prophet did not give him the key. He gave it back to Usman bin Talha because it was a trust. And the Holy Prophet wanted to act on this verse. And therefore, he recited this verse, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanat ila ahliha." Allah orders you to make over the trust to their owners. It seems as if Usman bin Talha was the owner of this key, and therefore the Holy Prophet did not want to give it to any other one. And that's why he gave it back to Usman bin Talha. Yes, if you look at the outward meaning of this verse, or in other words, if you give a look at the cause of the revelation of this verse, you might say this verse is about a specific situation. But you see, all verses of the Holy Quran may be about a particular situation or particular people. But it does not mean that those verses are restricted or limited to those cases. If Quranic verses are restricted and limited to specific areas, then how can we say that the Holy Quran is everlasting? How can we say that the Holy Quran is universal? Therefore, we can say that this verse, though it was revealed in Mecca, in this incident may be the cause of the revelation, but we cannot restrict the verse to this particular situation. And the verse has a general meaning. It addresses all human beings to be an adherent or to be the adherents of the principle of trust. We must be trustworthy and we must observe this principle. We must pay attention to this principle. One particular point that is in the cause of the revelation of this verse is that Usman bin Talha was not a Muslim, or he was a very newcomer in Islam, you can see. But despite all this, the Holy Prophet gave back the key to him. From this we can decipher that we can and we must give back the trust from anyone we have taken. Whatever you have taken from some people as a trust, you must give them back, no matter whether the one from whom you have taken something is a Muslim or not, whether he is a believer or not, whether he is a good person or not. Ignore all these cases. Be concerned about the principle of trust. If you take something from a disbeliever, give it back to him. If you give something, or if you borrow something from a hypocrite, give it back to him. And if you give anything from a polytheist, again give it back to him. The difference that exists in these cases does not create any difference in the essence of this order, in the essence of this principle. This principle needs to be observed. This principle has to be kept in mind. That is why Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, "Salasatun lam yaj'alillahu li'ahadin fihinna rukhsa." There are three things which everybody must do without any exception. If you are a man, you must do it. If you are a woman, you must do it. If you are a youngster, you must do it. And if you are an old man or an old woman, again you need to do it. لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِأَحَدٍ فِيهِنَّ رُخْصَةً. There are three things which everybody must do. What are they? أداء الأمانة إلى البر والفاجر. You must make over the trust to its owner, whether he is a good person or a bad person, whether he is a good doer or a bad doer. You must not make such excuses. You do not say that, okay, he was not a good person, therefore I want to exploit the situation, I want to use whatever is there in my hand. This is one thing. الوفاء بالعهد لبر وفاجر. You must keep your promise towards any person who is the one with whom you have made the promise. No matter whether he is a good doer or a bad doer, you must keep your promise. You must act in accordance with your pledge, in accordance with the oath you have made. Don't say that, okay, the person with whom I have made this pledge is not a believer. By saying such kind of things, don't shun your duty. Fulfill your obligation and don't pay attention to such kind of things. وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ برين كان أو فاجرين. And one of the things that must be observed without any exception is doing good to parents. Do good to your parents, whether they are good or bad, whether they are believers or not. Whatever the case, pay respect to your parents and honor your parents and do whatever you can to improve their lot. So these are the three things that we must do. We are supposed to make over the trust to its owner. We need to fulfill our promise, and we need to do good to our parents. But what we want to emphasize upon is adaul amana. We must pay attention to this principle, and we must do it. As the verse was very much general, taking all these cases into account, this hadith and this tradition also sheds light on this case and helps us understand the words in a comprehensive and better way. As I mentioned, this verse talks about two things. One is the principle of trust. The other is the principle of justice. So both these two principles are important. We will, inshallah, talk about the importance of justice in our future sessions. But here we can say only that observing the principle of justice is of high importance. We can by no means neglect the application of this principle under any circumstances. And just as it is important to apply the principle of trust without any exception, it is important and it is obligatory for each one to follow the principle of justice without any exception. Even when you are dealing with your enemy, even when you are dealing with those who are hostile to you, be fair to them. Apply the principle of justice while dealing with them. If you want to be a good Muslim, if you want to be a person who is liked by God and who is loved by God. So that is why there is a very good moral story from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Once it is said that two people came to Imam Hassan, the second Shia Imam, asking the Holy Imam to judge about their work. They were calligraphists and they had written something on a piece of paper, for example. And they brought their work to Imam Hassan to judge about the quality of their works and say which one is better than the other. Before Imam Hassan said anything, Imam Ali gave a piece of advice. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "O Imam Hassan, O Hassan, Ya Bunayya, O Hassan, be aware that though it is a very simple thing, but when you pass a judgment about it, understand that you will be asked about it on the day of judgment. Then try to be just while passing a judgment. And try to follow the principle of fairness when passing a judgment." You see, this is a very trivial thing. This is a very insignificant thing. But despite that, Imam Ali is very much concerned about it. And Imam Ali advises his son to be concerned about the application of the principle of justice. So this story tells us that the application of this principle is of prime importance. Ya bunay, unzur kayfa tahkum. Oh my child, look how you judge. فَإِنَّ هَذَا حُكْمٌ This is a kind of judgment. Don't say that it is a kind of game. Children have come to me asking for my judgment. No, فَإِنَّ هَذَا حُكْمٌ. This is a sort of judgment. This is a sort of judging. وَاللَّهُ سَأَلَكَ أَوْ سَأَلُكَ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. God will ask about it. And God will ask you about it on the day of judgment. Though it is a very trivial thing, but pay attention to it and try to be precise and try to act in accordance with your knowledge, in accordance with the principle of fairness. Another point that has to be made in regard with this verse which I recited is that as the principle of trust is general in scope, taking each and every person into account, it is also in general in terms of the objects it includes. In other words, when we talk of trust, we talk of trust in a general way. Sometimes you give some of your property to someone else. Sometimes you entrust others with some other things, with some other items. You put your children under his care. You give a position to some other people. All these things are examples of trust. Therefore, we can say that our rulers, our leaders, must be trustworthy because the position they have is a trust before them. People have given this position, people have given this power to them. And they must exercise this power very fairly and very justly. So the principle of trust is a very general principle. It takes into account not only all sorts of individuals, but also all sorts of objects and all sorts of things. The property which you owe could be an example of trust. The position which you hold could be an example of trust. The health which you have is an example of trust. The different organs of your body are the different examples of trust. So we are supposed to be concerned about all this. If they are the trust, we must act in regard with them in a manner that is suitable. We must not violate the principle of trust. If we violate, for example, we have our health, God has given us our health, and we must use this bounty in order to worship God, in order to get closer to God. But if we use this wealth, if we make use of this God-given wealth in a bad manner, in a bad way, then what will happen? The result is that we have not made use of the trust properly, and we will be sooner or later punished by God. In the wrath of God, it will include us. So, according to what this verse says, we are supposed and we are duty-bound to observe the principle of trust. In our future sessions, of course, we will further elaborate on this principle, touching the details and speaking about particular cases that are related to this principle. Thank you very much.